This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
So we told you Alabama, Georgia tonight for the national championship.
On
and
TV.
Alabama is an underdog. According to Trey Wingo, he said, Caesar Sports said that this will be the third time in the past 168 games that Bama is an underdog. The opponent each time was Georgia. Last two times, Bama got points from UGA. They didn't need them, winning 38-10 as a one-point dog in 2015. And then in the SEC title game, they won 41-24 as a dog. If I was betting, I would never bet against Nick Saban.
No.
Ever.
Not in this spot.
I'm watching this game. Not a big college football fan, but this game I like. This should be fun. Always fun when we get a chance to talk to Ryan Clark.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk to him right now. He joins us here on the show. Ryan, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing today?
Man, you know, just getting old, brother. Just getting old.
But that's so much better than the alternative.
That's what Coach LeBeau used to always tell us, too. So I agree with that.
All right, can you make any kind of argument at all, Ryan, that Joe Judge should keep his job?
Why would I ever want to argue for that? Even if I had a reason. Even if I had a reason, I wouldn't even voice it publicly. I would not say that aloud. No, I don't think there's anything that makes me feel like he should be retained as the head coach of the New York Giants. I don't think this team has progressed. I don't think players – it doesn't seem to be that players, at least the personality that he pretends to portray or the person that he likes to give off that he is, the perception that he wants people to have of him, it's not reflected in his team. You know, a lot of times you see who the coach is by the way the team plays on the field. I believe teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers, teams like the Baltimore Ravens, New England Patriots, you know, they reflect who their coach is. You can go to the Detroit Lions. Is that team terrible? Absolutely. But we knew they would be. But that team fights its butt off, and it's kind of in the image of their head coach. Joe Judge plays like this, I'm a super tough guy role, but he doesn't have a tough team. He gets in the Wing T high school formation and runs quarterback sneak, go 3rd and 9. This is a never give up guy that's basically giving up. And so I believe, you know, Dave Gettleman has already step down. I think the next move should be when they do, you know, go on a GM search to find a new head coach as well.
Now, you were a safety, but if you played offense and you were in that formation, what would be going through your mind?
That we just might as well kneel the ball for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. If this is who we're going to be. Why in the hell do I come to practice? And now, you didn't have to do anything crazy. You know, there are people on the team, I'm not sure if Joe Judge knows this, they call them running backs, and their primary job is to run the football. Just turn around and hand it off. Run a draw. Run a screen. Do something that actually gives you an opportunity to pick up 9 yards. I don't know. It is not an impossibility to pick up 9 yards in that case, unless you just think your team is that bad, unless you think your offense is that putrid, that you'd have no shot of picking up 9 yards against the Washington football team. I think that's just – it was hard to see. And if you're a player on that offense, you're actually wondering why you were at the facility Wednesday to Saturday.
Talk about last night's game, Ryan. If you were Bisaccia, would you have played for the tie there? Because if you played for the tie, you're in the postseason. Now, I know you have to face Kansas City. But if you kick a field goal, there's a slight chance that it could be blocked and run back, and then you lose and you're out of the playoffs. So would there have been any part of your mindset to just take the tie?
I mean, I think, you know, what we saw them do was just run the football. It just so happened they ran the football well enough to put themselves in position to kick a field goal. And with what the Raiders have been through this season, with the way that they've played down the stretch to give themselves an opportunity to get into the playoffs, I don't think you want to go in with the tie. I think you give your kicker, who hasn't missed a kick in Allegiant Stadium an opportunity to win the game, and that's what he did. I believe if they don't get the first down, if they don't get the yardage that they believe they need to make it a makeable kick, I don't think they try it, right? You're not going to try it from 60. You might even try it from 55. But at 47, with the kicker who just got a new three-year deal, and now you go into the playoffs on this winning streak, and Derek Carr has continued to show that he can make clutch plays in the important critical football moments, I think you do that. And Rich Bisaccia has actually, at least in my opinion, given himself an opportunity to me to be the front runner for the Las Vegas Raiders coaching job next year.
Why do you think Staley called the timeout?
Yeah.
Listen, man, I don't. Rex Ryan calls him Little Hat because he says you can't trust a coach who wears a hat that small. he said he had to get into a better run defense. Well, I wish he would have picked a better one than he picked. They didn't do anything special. They didn't load the box. They didn't have a run blitz on. They didn't go zero, understanding that they would get a run. They just did nothing. They lined up and allowed Josh Jacobs to get the first down. And so I don't really understand that. I don't necessarily think that that singular call is why they lost the game, but it is a head-scratcher in trying to figure out what Brandon Staley was actually trying to accomplish.
Is there any statistic that could make you understand and be in favor of going for it on fourth down from your own 18-yard line down three in the third quarter?
That's actually like the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
That's what I thought.
It truly is. It truly, there is no analytics that makes that make sense. I think he has to understand that people play football, and the 11 people that play defense that are taking the field on the 18-yard line, on their own 18-yard line, don't want to be there. They want an opportunity to stop someone to have to drive the long way, and you didn't give your team that opportunity, and you lose the game by 3 points, as a matter of fact. He's been aggressive all year, but I think he's fallen in love with being aggressive and not taking calculated risk. That's not a calculated risk. That's stupid, right? That's a dumb decision. That is a bad football coach. That's a bad football coaching decision. And I don't care how aggressive you want to be able to stand on the podium and say, you know what, I believe in my team. We're gonna be aggressive. We're going to take chances. We're not going to be risk averse. Well, you're also not going to have your tail in the playoffs, and that's why you're home.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
How are the Cardinals, who are a good team, lose five straight games at home? And do you think as a player, Ryan, as you go on the road in the playoffs, feeling like you're in a better spot than if you were home?
You know, I think you just love to be in the playoffs, period. I can't say you feel like you're in a better place being on the road, but their road success probably makes them comfortable on the road, if you can kind of understand the difference, you know. I don't think they're like, man, we're so glad we don't have to play at home because we suck here. But I do believe it's like, okay, we're going on the road. We've been there before. We've beaten very good football teams in their own stadiums. This isn't a problem for us. You know, it could have been, they could have been playing the Los Angeles Rams, who they are playing, or they could have been playing the Dallas Cowboys. Well, guess what? They've beaten both of those teams in their stadiums. And so that at least gives you the confidence that you can go into those places and win.
I wonder if, Ryan, if and we're talking with Ryan Clark here on the Michael Kay Show, if, in fact, winning and losing big games is in the DNA. Because I look at Carson Wentz, he doesn't win big games. And although everybody predicted that Matthew Stafford was going to be the bee's knees this year, when he was with Detroit against over 500 teams, he lost. And this year, against really good teams, he's lost. Is that something that you're just born with, the ability to win big games?
You know what? I don't know, to be honest. I don't necessarily know if you're born with it. You obviously need the people around you to do it. I think it's something that can grow in you, though, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that the experience of winning big games gets you more comfortable in those situations, okay? Think about Tom Brady, right? And obviously, you go back to the first Super Bowl, he had to lead the drive to allow Adam Vinatieri to make the kick. But, you do that enough, and now you start to have a belief that you can do it. I believe Matthew Stafford believes that he can do it. I believe that Carson Wentz believes that he can do it. Matthew Stafford's played for the Detroit Lions his whole career, so he really didn't have the supporting cast to allow him that type of success. But look at somebody like Big Ben, 57, I believe, game-winning drives in the fourth quarter. Like, that's a dude who just did it so often, right, and did it so much. He now believes that every time he's in that situation, he's going to make the right plays. But early on in his career, Ben didn't have to do that. When they beat Seattle, it wasn't about Big Ben Roethlisberger. It was about defense and run game. That allowed him to come along and to become one of the better quarterbacks in the league and now be a guy that's clutch. I think when you look at Carson Wentz, he just has too much panic in him. And it's not even about big games. He just freaking panics. Like, when it's not going his way, he just does stupid stuff. You know, the fumble yesterday, he's trying to flip the ball. Flip the ball to who? Like, there was only, like, a lineman standing there, and there was a running back with his back turned to you. Eat the ball. Don't turn it over. Don't hurt your team. And so I think Carson Wentz and Matthew Stafford both have a little bit of that, but we'll get an opportunity now to see Matthew Stafford in big game situations and be able to see what he can do.
If you were picking a new quarterback for a team that was, you know, a solid team that in need of a QB, would you rather have Russell Wilson or Derek Carr next year?
Ooh, why you put me on the spot, my boy?
That's what he does.
I thought that was a pretty good idea. I was just thinking about it. And I started thinking, I think for Washington, I might rather have Derek Carr at this moment.
Bro, this is so tough, right? Because if you ask before this year, you probably pick Russell Wilson and it's not a debate.
Yep.
You know, even though Derek Carr a few years back when he broke his leg was having an MVP caliber season, and that's when Oakland Raiders were, I think, 12-4 that year. Right now, Derek Carr is one of my favorite quarterbacks in football. And it's not just about his play. He's obviously, the last month, I think, led three game-winning drives to put this team in the playoffs. But it's not even about that. There's never been a team in the history of sports or the history of football in the NFL that's dealt with things that the Las Vegas Raiders have dealt with, whether it's the John Gruden email situation, whether it's Henry Ruggs or Damon Arnett. This is a team that's playing this year without its two first-round picks from last year. They're no longer on the football team. Your coach that you gave $100 million in 10-year contract to is no longer the coach. You have an interim head coach. And just for Derek Carr to overcome that and to make every decision he made was the right one. Everything he said was the right thing. Every brother or teammate that he backed was the right thing. I mean, it was just a flawless execution of leadership and then the play on the field match. And so if I'm going off of this year, I take Derek Carr before I take Russell Wilson because the talent is very similar.
Now, Ryan, before we let you go, you have a very popular podcast called Face First with Ryan Clark. Of the three of us, Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, Who's the one most likely to one day get an appearance on Face First?
Don't do this.
That's terrible.
I'm gonna tell you right now. No offense. I'd take Peter on the show today, right now.
Why? There is offense. When you say don't take offense, it's offense.
Are you going to do a non-football podcast?
And so I would absolutely. Yeah, I did Good Man, everything. Like I think one, I'm a fan.
Thank you.
I'll be honest. And I also see him more than you guys, and he actually communicates with me.
That's true. You know, like, I do interact.
If I tweet him, if I tweet him, or if he tweets something and I respond or reply, he always gets back to me. Like, you guys, the only time I get like a Michael K tweet is when I'm on the show.
That's
but
true.
You know why, Ryan? Because I don't like to push myself on people. Peter's good at that. I don't feel like Ryan Clark wants to know me.
Do I feel Peter like when I leave care. People alone, I'm doing him a favor?
Yeah, I'm doing you a favor. You don't want to be. You don't need another friend.
Ryan, ask Michael. Ask Michael if he's going to have you as a guest on one of his Sunday Night Baseball K-Rod broadcasts.
Oh, what about that?
You like baseball?
I actually do like baseball.
All right, then you're going to be a guest on the K-Rod broadcast.
I was a huge Yankee fan in college, though, because I thought that Derek Jeter was just an amazing human. And I understood that he wasn't necessarily the greatest shortstop of all time.
Close.
I just loved him, and he wore number two, and I wore number two in college. And so all my girlfriends in college, and this was at separate times, they were my girlfriends. They were all my girlfriends at the same time.
Interesting.
I pretty much had like five Derek Jeter jerseys because that was the easiest gift to buy them.
Well, the question is, when you broke up with these girls, did you give them a care package with flowers and chocolates?
Absolutely not. I mean, Derek Jeter had a – hey, listen, he was in a different tax bracket than I was at the time, Peter. Like, I couldn't – like, the only gift basket I could give him was a pack of ramen noodles, and I was going to keep the season, though, just so I could add extra to mine.
Wow. Well, I'm a little hurt, but you know what? I'm going to start really badgering you on Twitter. Hi, Ryan. How you doing? Just like Peter does.
Wow, you're sad.
Peter,
really sad.
Peter doesn't
do
that. Me and Peter talk movies.
Thank you.
We talk shows. We talk music.
Just
like, these are things that we have in common. Like, I tweeted him because I saw him on the Ultimate Warrior documentary. You know, the guy's
just casual.
He's just a jack of all trades.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Ryan.
I'm going to send you a tweet. All right, and my tweet is going to basically sum up what Peter's trying to do.
Wow.
When he tweets at you. Okay.
Wow.
So look out for my tweet, and you want to retweet it. But I am going to tweet you the sentiment in which Peter tweets you.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. That's perfect. That's perfect.
All right. So look out for it, and everybody in the audience, look for it as well.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
My guys, have a great day.
Peace. Be well. It's a great Ryan Clark. So he's a big Peter Rosenberg fan.
That was. It's honestly sad watching these things happen.
Like, bang bang.
Such an unfair question.
Well, but now you're joining in on it, Don, because
I
don't have any agenda with Ryan. I literally, we happened to meet in Bristol one day and rode somewhere together, and that was it.
Yeah, but you're really good at that. You deny this about me, I'm really shy. I would never voice myself on somebody like you do all the time, you get friends out of it. I don't.
Hold on. The reason I resent this is because I'm not good at that. None of the relationships that you see me as foisting on, am I foisting? He literally sat in a little like ESPN bus with me, and he was sitting next to me, and we started talking about his time on the Redskins. That was it. Like, there's no story there. And then you have to bat. You knew what the answer was going to be. You asked him. You knew he was going to say me. And then you attack me. And then, Don, even better, now he's already volunteered to have Ryan on his baseball show, too. So it's double insult.
It's not my baseball show. It's ESPN's K-Rod broadcast.
Whose name is first?
Right. K.
Wow.
But and listen, I think Michael will agree.
Rod is a bigger deal.
I think Michael will agree, and Peter will as well, that you're not really on a show unless your name is on.
Wow.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.